Now that you all have celebrated a glorious Mass, many of you have sung in the choir, you've had breakfast, your stomachs are full, and you're ready to fall asleep. Wonderful. So my challenge is to keep you awake, or maybe even better, to give you a nice thought as you fall asleep. So that when you fall asleep, it cannot just be a sudden departure from consciousness, but really a resting in the Lord, who wants you to do everything with Him. It's how wonderful He is. He wants to share every moment with you. He wants to be with you when you're asleep, and in fact, He is with you when you are asleep. He wants you to know, even more importantly, that He is there, that He is with you, that you can have that peace and the consolation in your hearts of knowing that you are with one who loves you more than you can imagine. So why do we take a day of recollection? Why do we have this time set aside at all? You're already, especially at Magdalen, living practically a religious life all the time. You have a structured life of prayer, you're at daily Mass, you're continually praying, preparing for liturgies, you're joining in prayer together in your dorms, you're having prayer before class, you're meditating on things of substance and depth throughout the days. What's the point of having a day of recollection? What are we supposed to be doing today that's different than any other day? It's an important question to ask. It's an important question to ask continually, why are we doing the things that we're doing, so that we can do them not just because someone told us, because that's what everyone else is doing, but we can do it with an intention. Because if we are doing anything without the intention of growing in holiness, of growing closer to God, then we should really ask whether we're wasting our time. Now, the very nice thing is that, in fact, if we understand who the Lord Jesus is and what He has done for us, we can do everything with the intention of growing closer to Him. That is a great consolation. Many things that we don't expect, like trying and failing, we can do with Him and for Him and in Him. Being persecuted, being made fun of, being alone, being forgotten. Lots of things that are distasteful that we think, certainly all of that is useless and I would be best off to get over that as soon as possible. Being uncomfortable, being awkward, being socially inept, being too silly or superficial to get through my classes, being so many things that when we understand the way that He loves us, even those things we can do with Him. And that becomes an urge. Probably our first effort is to get over those things and fix all of that, especially if you're male. Men like to fix things. That's what we do. It's just part of what happens. But we like to fix those things as a first effort, and when we can't, then often it moves us to prayer, and we're greatly consoled by the Beatitudes that we heard this morning. And perhaps then even more treacherous than our failures and brokenness in terms of doing all of these things intentionally with and for and in the Lord, perhaps even more treacherous is our success. Because if we remember the paired parallel verses of the Beatitudes from Luke's Gospel, woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are satisfied, woe to you who laugh, because what you have already is all you're ever going to get. If we are satisfied with our success, if we are satisfied with our riches, if we are satisfied with the superficial happiness that friendships may bring us to, if we are satisfied with those things, woe to us, because we have stopped far, far short of what God has prepared for us, of the eternal beatitude, the eternal treasure, the eternal joy, the eternal happiness that God has prepared for us. So today, as a day of recollection, is a chance to reflect on what we're doing and why we're doing it, and how it brings us closer to the Lord, how it brings us closer to an eternal happiness, rather than how it brings us to a more comfortable life, how it brings us to ease some of the tensions around us, how it brings us to separate ourselves or be alone or be contented in any kind of superficial worldly way. Today is a day to reflect on who we are, why we're doing what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it can bring us into a deeper union with the Lord. Wonderful to have a day of recollection built into your schedules. It's a great gift, but it would be very easy to waste it. This day is an opportunity for you, an opportunity to deepen your walk with the Lord and to, in fact, allow Him to infuse everything that you're doing, the things that are enjoyable and not enjoyable throughout your life at Magdalene and throughout your life in general, to infuse them with His grace and His love. Beautiful thing. A great gift. So I urge you, I encourage you, it would be very easy to slip away and make this, take a nap for 3 hours, show up for the next talk, take a nap for the next 2 hours. Now you could sleep in the Lord, and that could be a good thing. However, if you're going to take a nap for 3 hours, make sure that it's with the Lord and it's what He's asking of you, rather than just being willful and doing it because it's easy. And to the extent that you can be here, that you can remain in prayer. You are asked already to be in silence, and that's already a great help because there's a temptation to just keep talking and talking and talking, and then we never go any deeper. But to remain in silence with an intentionality, with an openness, with an awareness that He is there, to really spend this day with Him, the one who has made you and the one who has loved you. So hopefully what we will do in these conferences a little bit is reflect on who is this one who has loved you. How does He speak to you? How does He appear? How does He reach in and grip your hearts to bring you the fullness of joy, to engage you fully in everything that you're doing? I'd like to invite you, I know it's dangerous, into a little meditation. And as part of that, I'd like to ask you to close your eyes. And we'll see who opens them again a little later. I'd like you to close your eyes and just imagine yourselves in the midst of the crowd on the Mount of Beatitudes. Jesus has been preaching. He has been gathering disciples around Him. He has entered into your towns. And He has encountered members of your family, of your friends. You have heard about Him from various places. Different people have come to you and said, "You have to hear Him. He's amazing. He speaks to the heart. He knows my thoughts. He told me everything I ever did." You've heard such excited words about Him and such wonderful things that He has done and said. And you are drawn to Him and so many others with you. And you take a little trip out into the countryside. And you come to a grassy plain, and from it rises up a little hill, and so many others, your friends, even the ones you are here with now, your friends are with you, your family, and so many strangers you don't know. Imagine that. Who is there? Who is there with you? Who is next to you? What does it feel like to be on this grassy plain, and then to take a seat on the ground? How are you sitting? And you look up with some interest and intensity because there is one who is speaking, who is a little farther up, and you have to strain a little bit to see him. He's up there and he begins to speak louder and the crowd all goes silent. And you look up and you see him and there is something about the way that he carries himself. Something about the ease of his movements, the confidence that he speaks with, the energy and the intensity that he waves his hands, that he engages the crowd. He speaks with confidence, with authority, and yet there is a gentleness, a grace about his movements. What is he wearing? What is his hair like? What is the quality of his face? And you strain to see. What does it look like to gaze into his eyes? And he begins to speak. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he stops speaking. He looks up to heaven, knowingly, like he sees something or someone whom he knows and he loves. And then he looks down at you. He picks you out of the crowd. He looks right at you. And you know that he sees you, and he sees you seeing him. And a smile comes across his face, and he walks down, starts to walk in between the people. He touches each of them. He doesn't ignore any of them as he goes, and yet he is focused on reaching you, on coming to you. He sees you and he is delighted, and he walks through the crowd with purpose, with intentionality, in order to reach you and to be with you. And as he gets closer, he looks down and smiles, comes right up to you, extends his hand, picks you up, that you can look at him face to face. His hand on your shoulder, a smile on his face. And what do you see when you gaze into his eyes? So much love for you. Peace, depth, mercy, thirst. He has longed to be with you and longs to remain with you. There is a deep desire that emerges through his eyes. He says, how I have longed. How I have longed to give you my whole heart. How I have longed to walk every step with you. How I have longed to speak to you alone. You are so precious to me. How I have longed for this time to be with you throughout this day. Let us walk far from here, just to be alone together. And the crowd, everyone, is so jealous of you because he is giving you all his attention. And he walks, takes you by the hand, puts his arm around you and walks, begins to walk that you can be alone together. And what does he say to you? He knows your hearts. What does he say to you? And what do you say to him? How do you speak to him? How can you respond to such love? How can you respond to such attention? And yet he gives you all of his attention and walks with you. Walks to a deserted place where you can be alone and speak to each other and have this encounter. He invites you to pray with him. Because he says, I have made you part of my family. I have chosen you. And I have washed you in the blood that is poured forth from my heart and cleansed you in the waters of baptism. I have made a home in your heart, and we have now one Father. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I encourage you, I invite you to enter into that encounter. What you have seen, what you have heard, how he has come close to you. Enter into that encounter. Come back to that throughout this day. Take the time alone to continue that walk with him, to continue speaking to him and letting him speak to you. He longs so much to be alone with you, to share with you the silence in which he can encounter you. He can do so much in a heart that is open to him. Sometimes we can see this in the church because we can see what he has done in hearts that were apparently not so open to him. So many of you have a great blessing of having been raised in beautiful families and having had the support of loving parents, having had the presence of your father. For some of you, it's easy to imagine what one would look like who would come and meet you in the midst of the crowd and pick you up and walk away with you, who would see you in your sorrows, because you've had a human experience of that, and so it's easier to take the next step into a divine experience of that. Others have not had that so much. And yet, even with them, even with those who have not had such a loving father, such loving parents, loving brothers and sisters, loving communities, he does such wonderful work in hearts. I had the joy of having a retreat for the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's order, about a year and a half ago. And there was a man in D.C., in Washington, D.C., the Missionaries of Charity have a house, the Gift of Peace House. And it's an AIDS shelter and a homeless shelter, and they have men and women there. And that's where the retreat was being held, about half of the sisters on retreat and the other smaller number taking care of the residents. So all of the residents were still going on. There was a very large man from the Congo, I believe, whose name was Michael, and he was rather intimidating, like really big, like Mike Tyson kind of big, real big, and spoke, you know, with a very strong French accent, and was very happy to see you and probably to knock you over. It was a lot of restraint to not knock you over. A number of characters there who were surrounded in the loving environment of the Missionaries of Charity, who are really amazing, amazing religious. They're sort of like the really hardcore, the Navy SEALs of the Army Rangers of religious life, I think. There was another man as I was walking through the homeless shelter on my way to give a conference, and I saw him just looking at this picture. Now, he was a man probably about my size, more or less, had kind of a homeless look about him. I don't know if you know what that is. It just has its own quality. Little salt and pepper hair. Black man from New York had kind of made his way down to Washington, D.C. and had been found by the Missionaries of Charity at some point. His clothes, he had, you know, they didn't have holes, and yet the way that he wore them, something about him, just this sort of homeless quality. And yet he was looking up at this picture of Our Lady holding the baby Jesus, just staring at it. And he was a ways down the hall from me, so as I walked closer to him, the whole time he didn't move. He was just staring at this picture. And I just stood behind him for a moment, and I also looked at the picture with him. And then I said, "She's so beautiful, isn't she?" And without turning around, he wasn't startled, and he just said, "She is our mother." And I said, "And she has so much love for us." And he said, "And so much forgiveness." I was just so struck by this man. How did he come to be here with the Missionaries of Charity? So I didn't have a chance. I had to go and give the conference, but I met him a little bit later, and in that time was able to spend a little bit of time face to face, and I could see in his eyes, amazing, these deep brown eyes, such depths. Looking into them, they weren't shallow, they weren't terrified, they weren't darting to and fro, but real depth in those eyes. And he just held my gaze. We looked at each other, and then I said, "How did you come to be here? What's your story? How did you come to know Jesus and Mary?" And he said, "Well, I grew up on the streets. I was all into myself. I fought for myself. I did everything for myself. I hated religion. I thought it was just another way that people use us and take advantage of us, and I just had no time for that, and I just fought for everything, and I betrayed people. Whatever I could do to get a step ahead, I did. And I made a good living for myself. I was dealing drugs and just doing everything for myself, and then just one thing after another, it started to fall apart, and suddenly I found myself with nothing. I was on the street, and I was following people with McDonald's bags, hoping that they would throw away half a hamburger, and I was digging through trash bags, through trash cans, hoping that I would find just a bite to eat. And as I ran out more and more, had less and less energy, one day I ran into one of the Missionaries of Charity, and she said, 'Come, let us take you in.' And he said, 'I saw an opportunity. Here's another person I could take advantage of so that I could get ahead, so that I could get something for myself.' So I thought, 'Okay, sister, yeah, I'll go in.' And they took me in and they started taking care of me. And I would yell at them and I just grabbed whatever they were trying to feed me and I just took it from them and yelled at some of the sisters and insulted them. And they didn't flinch. They just kept loving me, just kept giving me a little bit here, a little bit of food, taking care of me. They kept inviting me to come and pray. Over time, I started to see they weren't going to leave. They weren't going to stop. They weren't going to become like I was and become selfish and use me. And then I started to trust a little bit, and I started to go to the chapel. And I started to pray. And I started to look at the one that they keep talking about and keep loving. And Jesus began to break into my heart. And I started to find a place for him. And I started to make my own little efforts at praying. And then I started praying every day. And this past Easter, I was baptized. One of the Missionaries of Charity is my godmother. And I love Jesus so much. And I'm so happy for all that he's done in my life. And that he never gave up on me. And that he kept following me until I would respond to him. And I would receive his love." So beautiful what he can do in a heart that is willing even to crack open the door to him. How much more can he do in your hearts? How much more beautifully can he transform you? What kind of fire of love can he place there if you crack the door open a little bit more this day? We may not do exciting things today like the Missionaries of Charity do day by day. I had the chance to be with them in Calcutta, and they do a beautiful ministry for the poor, going into very, very poor places where people live under a tarp, where people have no shelter at all and are just lying out on the sidewalks, sleeping under the awning of a store, all over, sleeping next to trash piles, with open sewage. There are some horrible conditions, and the Missionaries of Charity go in and reach out to those who maybe have never experienced love in their entire lives, and they show them, sometimes only for a moment. Mother Teresa tells a story of a man that she picked up off the street, and she and her sisters brought him back. He was covered with maggots, and smelled of rotting flesh. They brought him into the house of the dying, cleaned him up, cleaned out his wounds, and just for a moment he opened his eyes, and Mother Teresa looked into his eyes, and he said, with great depth and with great gratitude, this is a man who had lived on the streets, who had been abandoned, had been forsaken by society, had been forsaken by his family, was left there to rot, literally, to death. And in that moment, when he gazed into the eyes of Mother Teresa, and she looked into his eyes, and he said, Mother, I have lived like an animal, but now I will die like an angel. And Mother Teresa recognized, here was a saint. He didn't live the ordinary life that we would associate with a saint. He had lived in suffering on the streets. But here was a man when he had one moment left. He didn't waste that moment saying, I have been cheated. People have betrayed me. I am so angry. Why didn't you find me 5 years ago? Where were you when I was originally left to the streets? Why has God done this to me? In his one moment, he was able to open his eyes and say, Mother, I have lived like an animal, and now I will die like an angel. His last moment was one of gratitude. His heart was not so hardened by unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, holding grudges. His heart was free from forgiveness so that he could receive this act of love in gratitude and die in the arms of a saint, himself a saint. As we go through this day, we may not be doing exciting things, and yet we are doing the same exciting thing that Jesus did for 30 years of his life in Nazareth. He began his earthly ministry and spent the vast majority of his life doing nothing extraordinary, simply going about day by day, fulfilling his duty, loving his Father Saint Joseph, and his Father, our God in heaven, loving them and doing everything with them and for them, always in union with his Father. And Saint Louis de Montfort said, Jesus gave more glory to his Father by being obedient to his mother for 30 years in Nazareth than he would have if he had converted the whole world by the greatest miracles. So in this completely unexciting way, which is extraordinary and gives glory to the Father, let us take the time now in silence. I will be available for confession, for any short spiritual direction that you may wish. Let us take this time, wander, stay here in the chapel, be alone with the Lord, share in his very simple life in Nazareth, a life filled with love, filled with peace. Take the time to gaze into his eyes and let him gaze into yours, that you also, who will, God willing, not die like that beggar, may live every moment like that beggar did, with tremendous gratitude and deep love for the Lord.